I just want to go back a little to the chapter that we had read, the fourth of Daniel. Just make a few comments before we move on from that into our subject. Thank you, Robert, for bringing to our mind the importance of being a thankful people. You know, I've thought in my mind that we go to the scripture. What is the most important thing that a Christian has, how do I want to word this, has to do? That's really, we do walk in life, gets to do. What is one of the most important? One of the most important things is to love his brother. And I'll just call it his brother, his sister. Those that he has relationships with. That's really, really important. There's scriptures that say that if you don't love your brother, then how can you love that you do see? Then how can you love God who you haven't seen? And it's probably impossible to do that. You might think that maybe you have a way to do that. It's probably impossible, but thankfulness is right there, because those 10 things that Robert had there, he didn't even go through them all, but if you're an unthankful person, boy, life gets pretty bleak. Even spending a lot of time with someone who's not thankful is just it's just draining. It's just a downer. So being thankful is so important. And so here we are, 2 days before this election that the United States of America is going to elect a new leader. I don't know, I've been around 60 years. And I can remember one time, and I forget who was being elected president. I know where we were at. We were living on Kemp Road, and so I think it was sometime probably in the mid-70s, probably 76. I don't know when an election would have been there. And I don't know who it was for. I don't know who the two candidates were. But I remember my mother, and she's here today, but she's never really in politics. But I remember her saying to me one time that we need to really pray about this election. This is a game changer. She didn't use that word, but if this one party gets it, it's over for America, is what I got out of her statement. And boy, here we coming up here in 2024. And I don't know that I've ever seen it to where both sides are just saying it's over. If democracy's over, if you don't vote for me, and the other side says the same thing. I just wanted to point out this morning that, you know, I've read the last chapter or the last book of the Bible, and I can't say I understand it all. Do not. The times it's going to happen, but things are really going to get dark when it comes close to the end, and things are getting dark now. I don't know that I've ever seen a time in our country when things are as dark as they are, as far as morally. Last evening, Rebecca and I had the opportunity we had an impromptu supper invitation, just really impromptu. Somebody was babysitting for their grandchildren, a couple grandchildren, and they called and wondered if we wanted to come over and have pizza with them. They'd had a 4-month-old baby and a 2-year-old child since Thursday, and I think they were needing some adult stimulation. And so we went over there, but in the midst of the conversation, these people travel quite a bit. And in the midst of the conversation, they said in the last 3 months, I think it was, that this sister's credit card had been violated or stolen from her 3 times. And one time, and I didn't even know this existed, but one time they were at a rest stop, and I hardly know anything about this, but they were at a rest stop, and the husband was there with the dog beside the car, and then the wife come out from the restroom and kept the dog while the husband went in. They were beside their car, but they immediately got back in their car and got a call from their credit card company that, did you spend this money for this thing? And they said no. But I guess people can walk past you now or past your car and can use a scanner and just scan your credit card and start using it immediately. And if I knew that technology existed, but that's happened 3 times to this couple. You know, it's coming. The day is coming. The scriptures talk about when we're going to buy and sell, we're going to have marks different places, in our forehead and our hand. And I don't know, the writing is on the wall, but this is, regardless of who wins this election, it's the will of God. We can get upset. We can think it's going to ruin our day, but it's the will of God. I mean, way back 3,000 years ago, Nebuchadnezzar had to learn that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. That's who rules in the kingdom of men. It's not Kamala, it's not Biden, and it's not Trump. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and beyond that, he giveth it to whomsoever he will. This is God's plan. Whatever happens is God's plan. And if we resign our will to God's will, then we can be thankful, like Robert talked about this morning. But if we can't resign ourselves to God's will, we're going to be upset with this thing. Like Robert said, where he goes for breakfast, the tension last month is obviously there must be a couple different opinions on things. But if we just say God's will be done and mean it, we as Christians then can continue to live a thankful life and a blessed life. So I wanted to throw that out there this morning because of what's coming up. And so it's already 25 after 11, which is great. I've got a message here that I give at a 2 hour where we have 2 hour of church when I went to a communion this fall. And so I'm just going to start out with this, and I'm not even going to nowhere get close to done, but I guess the message, I would just call it, how do you identify? Who are you? But more importantly, who are you because of Jesus? What is your identity? How we identify makes so much difference in how we interact and react to life around us. Well, I may go there later. So the first thing we need to know, to do is ask ourselves this. Well, I'm just going to read this passage of scripture. I'm going to read Luke 9, 18 through 20. And I'm just pulling this right out. It says, and it came to pass as he was done praying, his disciples were with him. We're talking about Jesus here. And it came to pass as he was done praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? Who do the people say that I am? And they answered and said, John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and others say that one of the prophets is risen again. And then he looked at him, and he said this unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. And in 1 John 5:5, it says this, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And so before we can identify with Jesus, first of all, we need to know who he is. Who do you say that Jesus is? Are we like Peter, that he is the Christ of God? Is he the Son of God in your life? And so, Dale Tackett said this in the Truth Project. He says, do I really believe what I believe is really real? So do I really believe that Jesus that I believe in, do I really believe that he is really real? Does it affect my life daily? And so it's important, first of all, to realize who Jesus is. But it's also important then to realize who you are in Him. So what is your identity? You know, if I said to most of you, how's 160 doing? How's 160 doing? Most of you would probably think I'd went off my rocker. But I've got some, there's some people here in this audience this morning that when I say that, they know exactly what I'm talking about. How's 160 doing? 160 was a calf that come in with with about 180 other calves that come onto the farm. And he had an ear tag in his ear that said 160. And not only did the ear tag say 160, but it was probably blue. I'm not sure what color the ear tag was. But this identified who he was. And so when he got sick and needed to be moved to a different place, I could identify him. I could say, "It's you need to go get 160. Well, when 160, before we got 160, he was with a groups of maybe 250 calves. He was mixed with them. And some of them had white ear tags, and that meant something. And some were blue ear tags, and some were green ear tags. But we knew the ones coming to our farm, 1 through 180, had a certain color of an ear tag. So that identified them as a group. And it also had a number on the ear tag that identified them as an individual. And so identity is important. I mean, if I would have went in that pen and there'd have been no tags on them cattle, to pick that cow back out gets kind of tricky. I mean, it's the one that's black and white. Well, there's about 180 that are, well, a little more white than black. But identity is very, very important. You know, my dad and mom are over in a nursing home in Delphus. And I don't know if Brooklyn still works there or not. Haven't seen her for a little bit. She's an aide there. And so one day I asked her, I said, what are you going to do when you go to college? She told me she's going to college. What are you going to do? And she said, well, I'm going to be a physician's assistant. I'm going to go to school to be a physician's assistant. She said, I really would like to be a doctor, but when you become a doctor, people call you doctor then. They don't call you Brooklyn. I want to be known. I want to be identified as Mrs. Brooklyn or Miss Brooklyn. I don't want to be called doctor. So I'm not going to go to be a doctor. That was actually what was holding her back, was she didn't want to be identified as something other than herself. And so identity is just important to know who we are. And so identity is kind of, I can't even hardly explain this, but it can make you the same as everybody else. I can identify as the same, or it can make you an individual from everybody else, even though you're maybe with everybody else. You know, in the day and age that we're living in, people identify as I'm a Christian or I'm an atheist. I mean, I'm agnostic or this is how I identify. And even now, we can identify as something that we are not. Our minds can become so warped that we can think that we're something that we're not. I identify as a female or a male, and it's really not. I identify as an animal, and they even expect us to respect their identity in doing that. And so identity is very, very important, but nothing is so important as to identify and to know who we are in Christ. Because for you to identify with Christ and know who you are in Christ changes the way you think and the way you act and the things that you say. There's a few scriptures I want to read here of what this a new identity can look like. Romans 6:11 says this, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So when we identify with Jesus, we become dead to our old man's sin, and we become alive unto God through Jesus. Romans 8:1 in the chapter we had that Kenny read there this morning, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation." So if we identify with Jesus, not only have we went from sin to being alive unto God, but now there's no condemnation to us. And why is that? It's because Jesus took our condemnation for us. There's therefore now no condemnation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things. Old things are passed away. Therefore, all things are become new." You're not who you used to be. You're a new creature. 2 Peter 1:3 and 4 says this, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." So just get that. According as his divine power, God has divine power, "hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And so identifying with Christ gives us the opportunity to be a partaker of his divine nature. Do you feel like that you have a divine nature? The Bible says that you have that opportunity, that you might be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world. And 1 John 3:1-3 says this, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." We're called the sons of God. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." The world cannot identify with us. People who are called the sons of God, they don't know what that identity even looks like, because it says here that because they don't know him. "Behold, now we are the sons of God, and it doth yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And so, to identify with in Christ gives you a life of purpose, love, and meaning that comes from being a part of Christ's family and sharing his values. So when you say that I am in the family of God, I believe, I repent, and I confess. When I believe and I repent and I confess, When I identify with Christ, it gives us a life of purpose, love, and meaning that comes from being a part of Christ's family and sharing His values. It is a new identity that's not based on what you do, but who you are in Christ. It's not something you've earned. It's not something that you can go and work for. It produces fruit. It makes you a new person. We've already talked about that. But it's not about what you do, but it's about who you are. It's not achieved, it is received. And because of Him, everything becomes new. And so, I put letters on them and not numbers, and so I have a list of things here, and I'm going to read through that list, and then I have verses for each one, and I don't know how far I might get here, but, so this is who you are now, in God's eyes. This is who you are now. Because you have identified, you said, I am a child of God. That's who I am. You're loved. This is who you are in God's eyes. You're loved. You're chosen and adopted. You're saved. You're forgiven. You're made righteous. You're made alive. You're made new. You're set free. You're set apart. You're not your own anymore. You're gifted. You're prayed for, and you're sent out. And let's sing together 285. But let's go ahead and sing this. So where are kings and empires now of old that went and came? The Church of Christ is praying yet 1,000 years the same. And so we're loved in God's eyes. I want to go to Romans 8, 38 and 39. And it says this, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord. I can remember reading that, and we've talked about this recently, but I can remember reading that as a younger believer, and I'm thinking, so all of these things can't separate me from the love of God, but myself can. And I've rethought that. That even yourself cannot separate you from the love of God. There's nothing that you can do that makes God not love you. Now, He may not love what you do. And you may get the wrath of God because of what you do. And there may be consequences because of what you do. Just like Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament thought that he was pretty well, I mean, he had the kingdom of the world pretty well figured out. You know, the dream he had, it's even, he was this monster tree and the birds of the air lodged in it and people got their shade under it and was fed by it. And he there in the end, before he was humbled before God, he had it pretty well figured out. But why did God do that to him? Why did he make him till 7 times pass over? I don't know if that's 7 years, 7 months, seven what. But why did God do that to Nebuchadnezzar? Because he hated him? No, he loved him. So nothing can separate you from the love of God. You know, the Psalms 23 says this, For yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So even in death, Jesus, who you identify with, even in death, is going to be the only being, that's what I'll call it, there with you to walk you through that. Dad and mom can't do it. Your children can't do it. But even in death, there's just been a lot of stories that I've heard over the years that when somebody's dying, that's their last hope. That's what they see is Jesus. So even in death, Jesus loves you. Just who we identify as. You know, if we identify as a farmer, if that's who makes me what I am, then when the farm beside me, somebody else gets to farm it and not me, then I lose it. I mean, I have a horrible day. Maybe when some livestock get sick and die, if that's who I am, if being a good, a person that can stand up and talk in front of people, if that makes me what I am, and then you get up and talk and you blunder and you fail and people kind of come and tell you maybe the things you said wasn't the thing to say. If that's who I am, I mean, it can devastate you. But if we go about our life, and our identity is in Jesus Christ, the other things all take second place. I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter who wins this election, whether I'm Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter. I'm a child of God. So I just want to go over this list one more time and just, If we identify with God, we can be sure that we're loved, that we have been chosen, and we've been adopted. We're saved, we're forgiven, we're made righteous, we're made alive, we're made new, we're set free. Set free from ourselves. We're set apart. Are you different than someone who doesn't identify with Christ? Are you different than them? Are you set apart? It's been pointed out to me before that I wasn't much different. Wasn't much different. I was identifying as an electrician. I wasn't much different. You're not your own anymore. The scriptures say that your body is the temple of God. You're not your own anymore. You're gifted, you're prayed for, and you're sent out.